Good morning. It's good to be able to come together to worship God, and we appreciate your presence, and we appreciate those who are visiting. We're thankful that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back as you have another opportunity. You are our honored guest. I wanted to announce our lesson for this evening. We meet at 5 p.m. We will be answering the question, will the world end in 2012? That has been a popular topic recently, and we want to look at some things that are being said in the world about that particular topic and then compare that with what the Word of God says. It is of great interest. It is something that excites a lot of folks. And of course, with any question or with any topic, we always need to turn to God's Word for the truth on that. And we want to be examining that this evening. And if you have an opportunity to come back, we welcome you at that time. Jesus says that you are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hid. God's people, when they act according to God's Word, they stand out like a light. They can be seen. And I think of that statement, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. I remember as a child riding with the family, maybe on vacation or traveling somewhere at night, I always enjoyed looking for where the big city was based upon the glow of the light up in the sky. And when you come to a big city like Nashville or even Atlanta or something large, you can tell many miles off that that's where the city is because that hue, that light that is shining, it cannot be hid. And the Lord's church is like a light. And when that light is on, people focus on that. And when God's people are acting according to God's Word, they are going to be different. They are going to stand out. And this morning, I want us to think about how that the Lord's church, the church that belongs to the Lord or that belongs to Christ, is different in many ways than a number of other religions that are out there and that we can certainly choose from. I think about the millions that are worshiping around the world today, those who are claiming to be followers of Christ. I think about the millions of them that are gathered in church buildings, those who are coming together on a Sunday to worship God. And I ask the question, when we do that, and what we've done this morning, is it any different? We're gathering together this morning like millions around the world, but we're different in many ways. We're different, and we want to examine that this morning. We're not different because we're simply trying to be different. We're not different for different sake. But we're different because we follow the Word of God. And if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 17, like the Apostle Paul who went to the city of Athens, we proclaim a different message and a different practice. And when we do that, we will stand out. Do you remember the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 17? He comes to the city of Athens and he sees the city there full of idols. And he spends his time not in recreation or leisure or vacation or sightseeing. You remember the Parthenon would have been there at that time, the original Parthenon, and Paul could have seen that very thing. But he didn't spend his time sightseeing and looking over some of the ancient Greek and Roman ruins of Athens. He spent his time, verse 17 and 18, preaching the Word of God. Well, in spending time preaching the Word of God, the Word gets out that he's doing that in town, and so he's invited to Mars Hill or the Areopagus to come and proclaim his message. And we find there that he found certain Stoic and Epicurean philosophers. They would have been preaching the Greek philosophies of the day. But notice we find in verse 18, some said, Acts 17, 18, some said, what would this babbler say? Others, he seemeth to be setter forth of a strange God, because he preached Jesus and the resurrection. Paul was different. Paul was preaching a different message. His message was different. He stood out, and they heard that he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. This is strange. This is different. This is odd. He stood out because he was preaching the truth. And like Paul, we do the same today. Yes, millions are worshiping God around the world, but we're different. Yes, millions are preaching something, but we're different, you see. And so Paul comes into town, and they're used to hearing the same old, same old. And he comes in, and he's preaching Jesus and the resurrection. That especially was different to them, because many of them did not believe in that. So he's setting forth a strange God, you see. But look at verse 19. And they took hold of him and brought him unto the Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new teaching is. Paul was different. His message was different. He stood out. And so he begins from that point forward to preach unto them the one true God. Look at verse 23. Paul, in speaking to them, said, I passed along and observed the objects of your worship. I found also an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I set forth unto you. I'm going to let you know about the one true God. He was different. His message was different. And they got an opportunity then to hear the truth. This morning, I want us to look at the Lord's church, the church that's in the New Testament. And yes, millions around the world are worshiping in Springfield and Robertson County and Nashville and the rest of Tennessee and the United States and around the world. And many are claiming to follow Jesus and some are opening up their Bibles today. But we're different. In what way? I want us to look at the Lord's church as it is given to us in the Word of God. And then I want us to look at our practice and how it matches up to that. And let's see how that we are indeed different. We're going to find that the Lord's church is different because of what it was, because of what it is, and because of what it is not. Let's look this morning at the Lord's church. The Lord's church is different because of what it was. First of all, it was purposed by God. Not all man-made churches are purposed and planned by God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. The church in the New Testament, the Lord's church, was purposed and planned by God. We have thousands of religious denominations today that were planned by men. We want to be the Lord's church. We want to be the one that was planned by God and that you can read about in the New Testament. And that's what makes us different. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul, speaking of God, making known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Him. God planned and purposed that in Christ there would be a church. Look at verse 11 of the same chapter. In whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things. It was purposed and planned from the beginning of time. Look at chapter 3 and verse 11 of the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul says, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, the church was planned and purposed by God. The New Testament church, all other churches are planned by man. The Lord's church is different because it was preached by God. God sent out His apostles to preach the New Testament church. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul preached, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Notice, in the church, in the New Testament church, the church that belongs to Christ, Paul preached that, and that's where the glory is. When Paul preached Christ and Him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and following, he preached the Lord's church. Man-made churches were not preached in the New Testament. They were not preached by God. But the New Testament church was. The Lord's church is different because it was purchased by God in His own blood. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20. It's interesting that man-made churches crop up all the time. Every day someone is coming up with some kind of a church, some kind of a group, some kind of a cult, some kind of a following. And men and women plan these things. And they preach these things, and they go out and they start somewhere. They'll rent a building or they'll buy a building and they'll start a group. But the Lord's church was purchased by His own blood. Man is not shedding His blood to start these churches, these man-made churches. But Jesus died on the cross for the New Testament church. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, take heed unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. Jesus did not die on the cross for any other church other than His. He did not die on the cross for churches that were started by men hundreds of years later. But notice what the verse says, the church of the Lord. We want to be the church that belongs to the Lord. Well, He purchased it. When you purchase something, it belongs to you. When you go to the store and buy something and you go home, it belongs to you. And the church was purchased by God, His own blood, the Son of God, and so it belongs to Him. It's the church of the Lord, which He, Jesus, purchased with His own blood. And so that makes it different. These other man-made churches are purposed and planned by man, but not by God, and not by the Lord's own blood. The church that you read about in the New Testament, and that we're trying to be today, is the one purchased by God. The Lord's church is different because of not only what it was, but what it is. Consider with me Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me there. The Lord's church is different because it is the church of the Savior. Jesus is a Savior, but not of all religions and groups that man might come up with, but what He died for. He died on the cross to purchase a church unto Himself. And so He's a Savior of the body. In Ephesians chapter 5, turn with me there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, speaking of the role of husbands and wives, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, being Himself the Savior of the body." Well, if you look at chapter 4 and verse 4, there's one body. Jesus is the Savior of the one body, the one church that He purchased. And so He saved it. How did He do that? Look at verse 25. "Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for it, that He might sanctify it, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the Word." When we're baptized into Christ, when we obey the Word of God, we are cleansed, our sins are washed away, we're sanctified, we're set apart, and the Lord saves us. The Lord is not the Savior of man-made denominations. He's the Savior, verse 23, of the body. Well, what body is that? It's that body, that church that He built in the first century. That's what makes the Lord's church different. It is the church of the saved. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we have the day of Pentecost, and there are devout men, we're told, there from many nations under heaven. In Acts chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is preaching in Jerusalem, and he begins to preach about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He begins to point out to the audience that many of them had been the very ones that had crucified Jesus. And so, verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart," Acts 2:37, "and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even to as many as the Lord God shall call unto Him." And with many other words he testified and exhorted, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Then they that received the word, or one version says, gladly received the word, were baptized, and they were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Now you jump down to verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Who were added? Back in verse 41, those who were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins, the Lord added them to the church daily, such as were saved. The saved are in the church, those who have repented and have been baptized, Acts 2 and verse 38. It is different because it is the church of the sacred writing. And what I mean by that is, it is the church that you can read about in the New Testament sacred writings. It's the church that a word of God was given to it, the New Testament scriptures. You don't find in the New Testament man-made denominations. You don't find all the religious groups that you read about today that are causing all kinds of confusion and religious division. It's the church that you read about in the sacred writings, and it's the church that the Apostle Paul and other apostles wrote to. It's the church of the New Testament. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Can you read in your Bible about Mormons and Jehovah's Witness and Lutheran and Presbyterian and Methodist and other religious groups? You don't read about that, and we don't point that out to poke fun of them or embarrass them in any kind of way, but just simply to say those man-made churches came on later. They are not the church of the sacred writing that you read about in the sacred writing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul says he wants Timothy to remind him of his ways, and then he says, "Who shall put you in remembrance of my ways which are in Christ, even as I teach everywhere in every church. Paul taught the Word of God everywhere in every church, and that was written down. Look at chapter 7 and verse 17. As I ordain in all the churches. What churches? Denominational churches? Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutherans, Catholics, Episcopalian? You don't read about those. When he says, as I ordain in all the churches, it's the churches that belong to the Lord. These other man-made denominations did not exist then. These churches Paul is writing to, he's preaching in, he's ordaining, that means to make a law, to make a commandment. These are things that are written down in words, and then those words are given to these churches. Consider 1 Corinthians. It's a letter written to the church at Corinth, you see. It's the church of the sacred writings. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4 for another example. We just simply don't read about man-made denominations in the New Testament word. But we do read about the Lord's church. And we can be that today. In Colossians chapter 4, when Paul began to wrap up the book to the church at Colossae, look at chapter 4 and verse 16. Cause that this be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that also it be read from Laodicea. There was a written sacred writing to the church at Colossae. They were to read it. It's a church of this writing. It's a writing that is given to this church. The New Testament church you can read about in these sacred writings, not man-made denominations. And there are other passages that speak of the apostles writing to the Lord's church. Now, because of that, look at what we have. For example, in the Scripture, the sacred writings, we have an organization that is the New Testament church. There are elders in the New Testament church, Acts chapter 14 and verse 27. In today's modern denominations, there's all kinds of hierarchies. There's a pope. There's all kinds of different forms of leadership. But there is a scriptural New Testament organization of elders in each church. We have New Testament worship. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Somebody says, well, how are you different? Well, when you come in and experience the worship here, there's no band, there's no entertainment, there's no fun and games. And so when you come in, you might say, well, that was different. And sometimes visitors come in and they leave and say, well, you know, that was different. But different in what way? We are wanting to be the church that you read about in the Scripture. So we want scriptural organization and we want scriptural worship. When those folks were baptized into Christ in Acts chapter 2, they immediately began to worship God. And we find that there was teaching, like we're doing this morning. There was fellowship, breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. We just had the Lord's Supper. And the prayers. You turn over to Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. The church is praying together. We want to have a worship that is found in the Scripture. We want scriptural worship. Today, there's all kinds of things in the name of worship. A few years ago, I read about a church in the Houston area that had belly dancers for worship. Well, you can bring in anything. And anything is brought in. And sometimes a church service will bring in animals and they'll have a little circus there as a worship service. And there's all kinds of things going on in the name of worship. But we want to be the church of the sacred writing. We want to be scriptural. We want to be the church that you can read about in the Scripture. And there's also scriptural works. In the New Testament, the local church was preaching. They were edifying those that were Christians. All of these passages bear this out. And they were being benevolent. Today, there are works that involve going to theme parks. There are works that involve bingo. There are works that involve carnivals and playgrounds and gymnasiums and church barbecues and all kinds of things. The Lord's church is different because it did not engage in any of those kinds of things. It certainly can be done and often is done, but is it scriptural? The Lord's church is different. And then, of course, the scriptural plan of salvation. Back in Acts chapter 2, when it says there, the Lord added to the church, that was the New Testament church, the church of the Lord, the church belonging to Christ, who were the ones that were added? Back in verse 38, it was the ones who repented and were baptized. And in verse 41, they that gladly received His word were baptized. That was the plan of salvation. Repent and be baptized. Today, there's all kinds of plans of salvation. Some say that you don't have to be baptized at all. Some say that you're saved by faith alone. You may or may not be baptized later. There's all kinds of plans of salvation, but the Lord's church is different. It just simply preaches what Peter preached. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And so the Lord's church is different. Consider, for example, a third point, and that is the Lord's church is different because of what it is and what it was, but what it is not. The Lord's church is different because of what it is not. It is not of human origin. Turn back with me to the book of Matthew. The denominations and the religious groups that we have today can be traced back to men. Sometimes religious groups can be traced back to men and women who started churches in this country, in America, in the 1800s. The Mormon Church goes back to Joseph Smith. The Jehovah's Witness Church goes back to Charles Russell. The Christian Science Church goes back to Mary Baker Eddy. And we have denominations and religious groups that go back to people in this country, primarily in the 1800s. Then we have religious groups that go back to what's called the Reformation period in England and in Germany and other places, Switzerland of the 1500s, the Presbyterian Church, the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Episcopalian Church, going back to King Henry VIII in London. And so we have churches going back to human origin. We want to be just simply the church that goes all the way back to the church that the Lord built, all the way back to that New Testament church. In Matthew chapter 15, when Jesus is speaking about religious groups, He's talking to the Jews, a religious group, and He's talking about how that their tradition is making void the Word of God. And He says in verse 13, "Every plant which My heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up." He's not talking about physical plants. He's talking about religious groups. He's just been talking about a religious group that is not following the Word of God, and then He says they will be rooted up. But every plant. And so we don't want to be a part of a religious group that has a human origin. We want to go back and be the Lord's church. And what is that? Well, turn with me to chapter 16 and verse 18. Jesus said, "Upon this rock," that is the statement of Peter, that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God, "upon this rock, I will build My church." Notice, first of all, that He says, "I will build My church." It didn't exist at that time. It's going to be in the future, beginning on the day of Pentecost. Number one, He said, "I will," in the future, on the day of Pentecost, "build My," belongs to the Lord, not to man, "and then church," singular, not churches, not hundreds and thousands of human denominations, but My church. And so the Lord's church is different because it is not of human origin. It belongs and began with the Lord. The Lord's church is different because of what it is not. It is not of a human name. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16. Religious folks call themselves by all kinds of different names. We just simply want to be a Christian. Not a hyphenated Christian, and by that I mean a Christian plus something else, a Catholic Christian, a Methodist Christian, a Presbyterian Christian, a Baptist Christian, a Mormon Christian. I just simply want to be a Christian. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, that's how we honor and glorify God, by bearing that name. As you're turning over to 1 Peter chapter 4, think about it. Men, if you got married, would you want your wife to take on a hyphenated name? Your name and the name of another man. How would you like that? So Sherry marries me and she's going to be called Sherry Reeves Crawford. How would I like that? I wouldn't like that. I would think, wow, there's some divided allegiance there. Maybe she's thinking about Shannon a little bit too much there, you know. So we take on hyphenated names. Well, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a Catholic Christian, or I'm a Mormon Christian, or I'm a Jehovah's Witness Christian. What is God thinking about that? Our name glorifies Christ, and we don't need to be a hyphenated name. And so typically when when we marry that godly woman, she takes on our name. There's no divided allegiance there. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. We're not going to take on a human name, some other denominational name. We're just simply going to glorify God in this name. And so, as the Lord's church, we're just simply Christians. And the Lord's church is not of human teaching. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. And we'll illustrate all of these in just a moment. We'll illustrate all of these in just a moment in our next slide. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Jesus is the head of the body. We get our direction from one head. It's not the Pope. It's not some other human president or some other human leader. Our head is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. He is the head of all things, and all things have been put under His feet, and He is the head of the body, which is His church. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. That's what makes us different. We don't get our signals. We don't get our word. We don't get our commandments. We don't get our teaching from any human organization. It comes straight from God's word, the head. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church. We get our word from the head. We don't get our word from any human teaching. That's what makes the Lord's church different. It's not of human origin. It is not of human name. It is not of human teaching. It is a church of Christ. It belongs to Christ. We bear the name Christian. We don't want to go back to a man. We don't want to go back to a man's name. We don't want to turn to man's teaching. Let's illustrate those things. We follow a different rule book. Can you imagine if you got out on the basketball court and you said, I'm following a different rule book. If you got out on the football field and said, I'm following a different rule book. If you got out on the baseball diamond and said, I'm following a different set of rules. They would wonder what was up with that. Because when you're playing a game, you all have to play by the same rule book. But in the name of religion, there's all kinds of rule books. There are catechisms and creeds and manuals and disciplines and the Book of Mormon, and the Quran, and all kinds of books out there. We follow a different rule book. We follow the New Testament. That's what makes the Lord's church different. We have a different founder. It's Jesus Christ. It's not Martin Luther of the Lutheran Church. It's not John Calvin of the Presbyterian Church. It's not Charles Wesley of the Methodist Church. It's not Joseph Smith of the Mormon Church. It's not Mary Baker Eddy of the Christian Science. We have a different founder. And if we will do some investigation, and if we will ask some questions, we will find that man-made religious groups go back to a man or a woman in a certain time. But we want to be the Lord's church, and that's what makes us different. And we have and wear and bear a different name. We're simply Christians. You know what's interesting about man-made names in religion? Let me illustrate this for just a moment. Man-made names in religion either single out a Bible concept, they single out a man, or they single out some principle that they're wanting to promote. Let me illustrate that. A Bible concept. Look at this first name, Episcopalian. The Greek word episcopal is in the New Testament. It means a bishop. So here is a group, the Episcopalians, that are bringing out a word that's in the New Testament. It's a Bible concept. It's a Bible word. But it doesn't bring honor to Christ. Another example would be Presbyterian. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul talks about the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Presbytery, Presbyterian, really is a Greek word. It's a Bible concept. It means the elders. But even though it's in the Bible, we don't bear that name. Christ is the name. Christian is the name that brings honor to God. Baptist would be another example. Baptism is in the New Testament, of course. It's a Bible concept. It's a Bible practice. But it doesn't focus on Christ. It focuses on a Bible concept. And so, even though something might be in the Bible, we're not bringing honor to Christ unless we wear that name, Christian. Let's take the second example, Catholic. Catholic is just simply a Latin word that means universal. So I'm trying to promote a concept of the Lord's Church going all over the word universal, so I'm going to pick a word, Catholic, that means universal. Well, the Lord's Church is intended to go all over the world, but I'm not going to wear any other name other than Christian. And then third, there are names that are given in churches that honor a person. Lutheran, Martin Luther, that's obvious. Another one, Baptist, John the Baptist. Another one would be Mormon. And we don't have time to go into all of this, but Mormon, according to their theology, was a descendant of a Jew who came to the Americas about 300 B.C. And Christ actually came over to the Americas and appeared to him. And so we have what's called the Book of Mormon, and we have Mormons. Mormon was allegedly a man that Christ appeared to in the Americas. The point is simply that a name might focus on a man, Luther or Mormon. It might focus on a concept, Catholic. It might focus on a Bible teaching, Baptism, Episcopalian, Presbyterian. But these names do not honor Christ. We simply bear the name Christian. The Lord's Church is different because of how it acts. We seek to live pure lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. You might say, well, how is that different? I thought all religious people sought to live pure lives. Well, that may be true. But we're seeking to live pure lives, and we're serious about it. Sometimes you hear about religious groups where there's a scandal. There's a sexual scandal. Different denominations have gone through, our Catholic friends and our Episcopalian friends go through the priest sexual scandals. We have televangelists who go through scandals. We have different people who are caught up. There's money laundering. There's sexual problems in denominations. There's fake and fraud types of things going on. It gets investigated. It comes out in the news. We want to live pure lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, we're sanctified, we're saints. That means set apart. Does that mean we're sinless? No. But when sin enters into our lives, we want to get rid of that. We want to repent of that. We want to get that out of our lives. We want to come back and live right before God. We're trying to live pure and holy lives. Turn with me to Ephesians 5, verse 27. In many religious groups, the religion is a front, but in their personal lives, in the lives of the leadership, in the lives of many individuals, there's hypocrisy, there's lying, there's backbiting, there's gossiping, there's adultery, there's sexual sin, there's money problems, there's fraud. We want to be clean and pure, and we're striving for that. In the New Testament church, Jesus died that he might present the church, the New Testament church, the church of the Lord, the church of Christ, the church that we're trying to be, a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle. And so when that sin does come into our life, we want to remove that immediately and get that out. We're seeking to live pure lives. We don't simply want to have some sort of a religious front. And on the outside, like the Jews of Matthew 23, on the out they cleanse the outside, but inwardly they're full of corruption and dead men's bones. We want to be clean on the outside and on the inside. The Lord's church is different because it suffers for the cause of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Have you ever known of any religious group that waffle and change their position on different kinds of things so that they don't have to suffer, so that they don't have to be considered an outcast, so that they don't have to be considered an oddball? They change their teaching. They modify different things to go along and get along. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, the New Testament church suffered for the cause of Christ, were persecuted for the cause of Christ. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea, for you also suffered the same things of your own countrymen. New Testament Christians in the Lord's church suffered And that goes along with the next point. When they stood for the truth, they suffered for it. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 3:15. The Lord's church is different because it seeks to sustain and uphold the truth. We're not about compromise. We're not about changing every week or month or year to conform to what the culture is going along with. One of our recent visitors who's been coming wanted to study with me this past week, and we had a great study together. And I asked her, I said, why did you come visit us and what made us stand out? And she said that she had been a member of an Episcopalian church for some time. And what bothered her was that around 2003, 2004, when they began to ordain gay bishops. And she said, they're changing. They're changing just simply to keep up with modern society. It's not in the Word of God. I want a place where people are following God's Word, preaching God's Word, sticking with God's Word. That's the Lord's church. That's what we're seeking to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We sustain it, we support it, we uphold it, and we don't want to compromise and change on a regular basis just simply to keep up with culture. So we'll change our views on abortion to stay with society. We'll change our views on homosexuality to stay with society and other kinds of things. The Lord's church becomes different then really quick. When it is simply a body of folks, even if it's a small body, that just simply wants to preach and sustain and uphold the truth of God's Word. Well, is this church really different? And I come now to the close of our lesson here at Memorial Boulevard. Are we really different? We're not simply claiming it. We're trying to demonstrate it. We're working hard, and we want you to come and help us do that. If we fall and falter, we want to make the changes. We don't just simply want to claim that. We want to demonstrate it, that we are truly the Lord's church. And all of these things that we studied this morning, we want to be scriptural in our worship and in our work. We don't want the human origins and the human names and the human teachings that are constantly focusing on what man thinks and feels. But we want the teaching that comes from Christ the Head. We want to demonstrate it. Come experience that difference. You know, when you come and visit, the worship is relatively simple. There's no pageantry. Nobody has stood up with some elaborate garments, and there's this elaborate ritual that goes on sometimes in another language that you don't even understand. Things that are going on that are confusing and complicated. It's just simple. We sing because the New Testament church sang. We took the Lord's Supper in a simple manner because that's what they did. Come and experience that the no man-made laws. We don't have man-made laws here that are constantly changing every year where we get together and vote on gays in the ministry or other kinds of things. And we're going to change that this year, and then we might go to something else next year. Come experience the uniformity of just simply staying with God's Word day in and day out. No gimmicks. We're not offering a free car. We're not offering a free bag of groceries. We're not offering a set of lottery tickets. Churches offer all kinds of things to get people to come in, gimmicks and games and that type of thing. It's almost an insult to our intelligence. People will put advertisements in the paper to come because of this thing that we're offering. It's almost an insult that you're luring me in with that kind of thing. The only reason I'm going to come is because you're going to feed me or give me a prize or give me a door prize. Some people are actually offended by that and turned off by that. There's not going to be any kind of thing like that. We simply are going to be the New Testament church that you read about in your Bible. And we would invite you to come and experience that. And those of us who are trying to be the Lord's church here, let's remember that we are different. Not because of difference sake, not to bring attention to ourselves, not to be able to go out into the community and say, look how different we are, but simply because we want to follow the Lord. And by doing that, we're going to be different. Yes, millions and millions are worshiping around the world today. but we're different, and we want to be the Lord's church. We invite you to come be a part of that with us. If you're here this morning and you need to simply, like Peter said, repent and be baptized, the water is ready, you can do that. Come and name the name of Christ and wear that name and walk out a Christian. Not a hyphenated Christian with another name, not a name that brings honor to something else or someone else, but simply to Jesus Christ, and be a part of that Lord's church. As a member of the church, if we've fallen away, if we've done something that mars that holy name, and in Ephesians chapter 5, if there is impurity rather than purity, if there is a spot, and if there is a blemish, and we need to make that change, and we want to let others know, you can come and let that be known as well. We simply want to be what Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And we want to be a member of that this morning. If we can assist you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?